Hello, and welcome to Accounting 350, Federal Financial Management. Today is going to be the third class, and a very important class. So what we're going to do today is we're going to go through the full budget cycle, as well as many other important elements. Most of the information will be from the slides, most but not all. Some information which is required for this class will be covered only in this podcast. So it's really important to thoroughly listen to the podcast to provide and get very important information required for this class. First, we're going to talk about the federal budget cycle, and we're going to talk about budget execution. The idea is we get a large amount of money, and then we're able to divide and use that money. The first step, which you must thoroughly memorize, is going to be the appropriation. The appropriation is when we get money, or agencies get money in general, most agencies, from Congress. Ultimately, we have to pass appropriation bills, which are so important, which provides agencies money that they can use. There's many more steps, and you need to thoroughly know all the steps. The second level is from the Office of Management and Budget, called an apportionment. An apportionment is where OMB, you must memorize, it's OMB. OMB will then say, here's how much money we have, and then the agency can use that money during only a certain period of time or for a certain activity. Some organizations actually have symbols which identify which apportionment the money is for. For example, an entity might get appropriation 6,500 and then have 6,500A for work done, say, in Canada, 6,500B for, say, work done in Mexico, etc. An organization uses the standard form 132 to help identify apportionments. The general ledger updates, which you must memorize for this class, and they're so very important for federal financial management, will be debiting 4450. That's moving it from unapportioned and then setting it aside as the apportionment. Know that you have the status of the fund in the right-hand side. So generally, and you must memorize and thoroughly know this, that on the right-hand side, the credit means what is the status of the money. So one of our slides identifies apportionment. The next step, which you must memorize, will be the allocation. Allocation is putting money at a lower level. In many situations, the allocation will be at the level below the agency, such as bureau level. Some organizations might have many bureaus, such as Office of the Chief Financial Officer, Office of Contracts / Procurement, or maybe mission-type bureaus. The next step, which is very important and you must thoroughly understand and completely memorize, will be allotments. You must exactly know how allotments work. We actually already show allotments in the slide deck. So pay very close attention to this slide deck. It is required for this class and might be covered in the exam. You debit and you must thoroughly memorize this. You debit and decrease apportionment and you credit allotments 461000. You must memorize that allotments will credit 461000. It will credit when you make an allotment. That's setting aside money for a specific, not just bureau, but for a group within an organization. There's also a very important link, which I recommend that you thoroughly read to learn about various items in the federal financial management cycle. The next step, which you must memorize for this class, will be obligations. In general, the obligation will credit, and you must memorize 480100. So the obligation moves it from the allotment, so the status is an undelivered order. What does that mean? An agency has decided to buy a specific good or service from a specific entity for a specific amount of money. But you must memorize the other entity has not provided the service yet. For example, an entity might sign a contract to, say, buy computers with, say, Dell. And let's say an organization signs an agreement to buy computers from Dell. When the agency thoroughly signs the agreement, the credit, you must memorize this, assuming no commitment, will be 480100. Again, the credit for obligations, and you must memorize for this class, is going to be 480100. It's very important you memorize and really learn this. Many entities look at their undelivered orders. Another important step will be allotment and allocation. And also note that money moves from the allocation to the obligation. In some situations, organizations will have an obligation with advance. In other words, let's say an entity give somebody money before doing the travel. That's an advance. So in that situation, you've spent the money. So the fourth digit, you must memorize this too, is 480200. Again, the credit, the status of the money, if you give some money, if you give somebody money before they do the work, is going to be a credit. You must memorize this for the class. 480200. It's so important to thoroughly know the general ledger entries. So the slides, they really cover this already. So look at the slides thoroughly, listen to the lecture thoroughly, go through the lecture again, and go back to the Treasury Financial Manual that's already listed within the slide deck. That's really important. Because an entity is actually spending money and actually maybe giving money, what's going to happen? Another important entity is going to be a debit. You must memorize the debit. The debit is increasing an asset known as an advance. The first character is a one. So the entity has advanced money to another entity, known as advances slash prepayments, and credit, cash, or fund balance for the treasury. Interagency. You must memorize these thoroughly, so we'll go through the entities. So for example, Department of Justice could do work for another entity, such as DHS. Or another example here is DHS might give another entity money before doing any work. The entity that is going to be receiving the advance, what's going to happen, you must thoroughly memorize this, is that you will debit 422200. What does that mean? We have money from another entity. So in that situation, you're actually setting aside money, you're actually showing in your financial statements, which you must thoroughly memorize. You will debit 4222 to show we have work being done, and then we expect to have money. So the status is not money we spent, but money we expect to have. That's why it's 421000. In some situations, you might have 422100. It also depends on if we anticipate the money as well. You also will have a proprietary entry to identify cash indoor, and then a credit for a liability. It's so important that entities thoroughly, perfectly get this correct. In other words, one entity, let's say the organization receiving an advance has, or giving the advance has an asset account, 141000, and then the other entity that gets money before doing work has a liability. Liabilities you must memorize start with a two. So again, these are so important for the class. It may be covered in the exam. Thoroughly look at this slide many, many times. Now, once the entity does work on the agreement, what's then going to happen is then you will have revenue. So on the budgetary side, you will debit 425200. You must memorize 425200. And what this identifies is we've done work. So you're collecting money on the debit. And then you credit out anticipated reimbursements. Why? That's no longer the status. The status is we got the money, not that we expected to get the money. On the proprietary side, we're getting cash. And then what we're then going to do, if there's no advance, is we will then have revenue, which is GL account 5100000 or 52000. You must memorize that revenue starts with a 5 and can be 51 or 52 depending on its goods or revenue from services provided. So important for this class. You must thoroughly memorize this. When you receive goods or services later in the process, you must memorize this for the class. You will debit 480100 or and then credit 4901. What does 49 mean? The 49s means that you receive the goods, and the 01 means you haven't paid yet. Note there may be many other accounts too. You also must memorize that you also have proprietary, which more is corporate type accounting, where you're identifying assets and liabilities and revenue. In this case, you have an expense or a debit that you must memorize. Another important item is that Treasury usually, for most agencies, pays the other vendor, not the agency. For most agencies, the U.S. Department of Treasury pays. So an agency approves the payment, and then Treasury makes a payment. You must memorize that too, that Treasury pays or disburses the money. That's why, in which case, an agency might set aside an account in proprietary to identify that disbursements are now in transit, and we no longer have accounts payable. And the last step is actually paying the entity, which is GL account 1010, which is fund balance of the Treasury. Also, we might have an advance, in which case what's happening is we move money. It's no longer status of advance. Again, advance you must memorize is going to have a 2. The fourth character is going to be a 2, but once we actually not just receive the goods but already paid them, we identify it's paid and received. That's 490200. Again, 490200 means we've received the money and we've paid. No, we no longer have an advance. Again, there's a lot going on in these slides, and you must thoroughly memorize them, so I recommend going over the slides. But I hope the slide deck provides some, or rather, the podcast provides some helpful information as well. Again, you must memorize the U.S. Department of Treasury as the organization that actually is going to pay the vendor in most cases. Stakeholders. It is so important to really understand numerous different stakeholders. A lot of times, students talk about an agency in relation to them as a taxpayer. And the taxpayers are very important, but they are not the only entity. They are one of many other entities. They're also the vendors, the contractors, and the employees. The employees are so very important that we look at employees as one very important groups. Unions are very helpful and provide a voice to employees in many situations. Grant, in the last couple of years of the Trump administration, that this did cause some controversy. Regardless, unions do represent, in many cases, federal employees and are a very important stakeholder. Modern finance looks at many different stakeholders, not just the person paying, but many other very important people. Other groups include Congress, customers, or the community. It's also important to realize the community. For example, if there's a shutdown, the shutdown might harshly impact the community. Speaking of union membership is relatively high in federal and much higher than private sectors. Unions are able to look at policies such as on travel in many situations, but not all, negotiate, and can support employees. Union membership is higher amongst government employees than other entities. The private sector union rate is relatively low in the U.S. today, but much higher in the federal sphere, and they have a very important item. People can be as high as a GS-14 and be in a union. Again, there was an executive order in the Trump administration that did change the ability for unions and not even give them an opportunity to even have an office. This is an ongoing controversy. For week three, you must complete discussions. The discussions will absolutely require two posts. You must have two posts every single discussion. Preferably one to respond to the question and one to email another student. Quiz will be due in a couple weeks as well in week three, and that's something you need to be aware. You'll also have a discussion in week four and a budgetary assignment. You also will have on week five, week four, you'll also have the homework assignment. The homework assignment is very important, and note the homework assignment will cover mostly slides three and four, although there might be other elements. The quiz will be closed notes, closed books, and closed internet research. You must finish the exam once you start. So make sure that you have enough time to complete the exam from the second that you touch your keyboard and you start working on the exam. If you are unable to complete, that's very, very problematic. So make sure that you set aside 2 hours of time from the second you touch your keyboard and finish. You cannot go back to the exam. Once you start, you have to finish. It's multiple choice, and you will go into Leo, and you'll go into quizzes within Leo. Not assignments, you will go into quizzes. The homework is very helpful to help you study for the exam. So look at homework one and a little mostly homework two. Make sure you understand the questions and the answers. If you did not get a homework question right, please go back yourself, go through the course material, and try to find what the reason is you got the question wrong. If you're still not sure, email me or contact Ask the Professor. I want to make sure that you thoroughly understand all the homework. Again, the slides and this podcast are the most important pieces for the homework. Topics may include FASAB and GAAP and the difference between those. Know your single year, multi-year appropriations. You must thoroughly understand appropriation law, and you must thoroughly know the rules about time, purpose, and amount. The slides have a couple helpful examples, and there's also some data from the GAO within some of your course readings. But it's so important that you really understand what is a no year and single year and when you're able to appropriate money. Know a little bit about the CFO Act might help, and branches of government might help as well. The budget proposal. So there's a couple criteria, such as is it thoroughly analyzed? Do you have good presentation requirements? And do you have a reference page? You must use Microsoft Word. You will be penalized if you don't. There must be a completely and totally separate cover page, such as I'm doing the budget for XYZ entity. It must have 3 to 5 full pages of content and single pages, single lines. You have to have a completely and totally separate page for sources. You must have page numbers and headers. You must have proper grammar. So what you do is you would select the FY 2020 budget request for a US federal entity. Talk about justifications. Provide information about 5 appropriations. So in other words, you talk about the appropriation, the amount, the change from last year, why the agency wants that, in very simple terms that anyone could understand. Again, compare the budget, compare to actual, and talk about why this agency wants this money. And that should cover most of it. In fact, if you just look at a half page per each appropriation, that's going to cover your whole 3 to 5 page required document. I have a very simple example on this slide deck as well to help you. If you have questions, please let me know. I hope you're doing well in this class and wish you the best of luck as you finish this class and continue your academic and career journeys. Thank you very much and have a great week.